Just lift your hands to the Lord. Say, tonight, Father. Let this word come into my heart.
Let this word come into my heart.
So that it will set me free.
So that it will set me free.
So that I can worship you.
So that I can worship you.
In spirit and in truth.
In spirit and in truth.
Amen?
Amen.
See, I didn't know how I was going to present this message because it isn't what you could call the most happy message that you can give. But it's definitely His truth. And sometimes we need to hear why we're going through what we're going through. And I'm not going to give you the scripture just yet. I'm going to give you the word first. Okay? Therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourself also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regards to the body, but live according to God in regards to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled, so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I stress, without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. That one is the one I want you to focus on. So I'm going to close your eyes. Say, I'm going to use my gifts.
Not for selfish purpose,
but to serve others. For your glory, Lord. Each one should use whatever the gifts he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. That gives you a concept of what he's looking for the body of Christ. He's not looking for you to judge where they're at, what they're doing, and how they're doing it. He's looking for you to give mercy. Okay? Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. In other words, God's grace comes in all kinds of ways. Being nice to a person who's a real B-I-T-C-H can really be your commission from God. Come on, you need to put your hand up, please. I'm not alone. Okay? You know, you can meet the most horrible person sometimes, and you would just like to clobber them with a 2x4. All right? But God says, give them what? Even if they don't deserve it, because somebody loved you when you weren't very pretty.
That's right. That's true.
Or beautiful.
That's true.
Okay? Or loving. Amen?
Amen?
And you might even go back for seconds.
Amen.
And I'm talking to myself just as I'm talking to you. Okay? If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very word of God, the sword. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength of God's provides. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Mm-hmm. I just read to you 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. If you can take that message home, your whole life will change. And the ones that are usually the most irritable are the ones in your own home.
Amen.
It's the way it works. They can be the most irritating of all because, after all, they should love me. There's your knowledge of trees. Which tree are you bowing to? Okay? And again, what do we do? If they're coming from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, they will be angry with you because you're the tree of life. You represent love, peace, joy, harmony, everything that's godly. And obviously, guess what happens when darkness is hit with a speck of light? Amen?
Amen?
I was telling a lady the other day, I said, you know, if you have a box of darkness filled with bugs, just close your eyes, imagine it. And I make a little hole on top about maybe a quarter of an inch, and I stick a flashlight lit on top. Tell me what's going to happen. You're going to hear some scurrying, aren't you? And where are they going to go? In every corner available. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing to the enemy. Mm-hmm. Say, Lord Jesus,
let me realize I'm a lighthouse.
And when my light is turned on,
the bugs are scurrying
for more darkness. And I need to stay lit. Bright. Shining.
To really irritate.
All the darkness. For God's glory. And if I'm suffering, Lord. If I'm having a hard time. You've got a plan of salvation. A plan of deliverance.
A plan of healing.
And when I lay my hands on the sick.
When I lay my hands on the sick,
we've got a few that are coming home. No! You're right! When I lay my hands on the sick,
they shall be healed.
Now we're close. We're almost there. Say, when I lay my hands on the sick,
they shall be healed.
Yay! You did it right. Did you notice the harmony was coming in there?
Mm-hmm.
Why? It took how many times?
Four.
Everything is established in two or three witnesses. Okay? Think about where I'm coming now. I'm trying to let you know the first person you start healing is you.
Amen.
The first person you lay hands on is you. The first corners of deception that you're going to learn is hidden in you. And God is interested in you. Just the way you are. I find most Christians trying so hard to perfect themselves so that then God can be pleased with them. And it's not what it's all about. It's really saying, I can't heal myself, Lord. So I'm going to lay my hands because your word says to lay hands. And I'm going to trust you to do the healing. You know, quite a few years ago, at this time of the year, I had a couple of surgeries, and Dr. Bob was kind enough to visit with me every day while I was in the hospital. And the surgeon who did the work, I don't remember his name, but he is very, very nice. But they had to do the surgery twice because they couldn't get all the infection out. But then the clincher was that they couldn't sew me up. They couldn't sew it. So my leg
from here to here looked like.
And the inside of the knee was quite visible. And every day I had to clean it out. And that lasted from the latter part of September to the latter part of January of the following year. And I can remember the Feast of Tabernacles was taking place in Washington State. I said to the Lord, I want to go. And I mean, if you want to hear a roar coming out of a lioness, it was my wife. How can you fly across the country in that kind of condition? I said, well, I will bring my little pack sack and all my cleaning stuff.
You're determined.
And I'm going to the feast. And I came back and survived. And the lioness survived. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that if you're determined in your suffering, don't let it drag you down. In the midst of that suffering, I don't remember how many milligrams and pills of painkillers that were given. I don't remember that. It's written. I did write it all down. But I can tell you one night, heavily drugged on whatever it was that they were giving me, and I don't want to remember. He probably does, and the numbers are not important. God would choose to tell me to take my Bible at 3 o'clock in the morning and have me write down what he wanted me to do. So in the midst of a what you could call a drug state, pain that can't be described because only when you're in it do you understand it, the Holy Spirit began to take me to a higher level. So you say pain can actually be used for God's glory? Yes. That's why I'm giving you that piece of information. If you see someone suffering, begin to rejoice and let God use it for His glory. Because in that time slot, at 3 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit said, now you're going to forgive a person in your family. Someone that offended you. I said, Lord, who is it? And I saw the person's face. It was one of my sisters. She was at least 16 or 17 years old when I was born. And undoubtedly, there was a lot of kids in the house, and I was just a big ball baby at some point. And I don't think anybody was nursing me at that time except Mom. I don't think anybody was, like, you know, cuddling me. And if they were, maybe it was time wasted because there was so much to do. And she would have been the directress trying to keep the family going. And undoubtedly, something happened. I still don't know what it is. I don't want to know what it is. But the Lord said, choose to forgive her and set her free. So I did. Now, at that time, I was 52 years old. 52 or 53, somewhere in there. And I had never received a phone call in all the years that I had lived in Massachusetts or in Canada or in Vermont. So my entire life, I never heard from her. But on my birthday, that year, she called me for the first time. Because I chose to set her free. In the midst of my pain, and I wept. So, I don't know what happened, and I never told her, and it's none of her business. Now, she's 82 or 3, or more. Or no, she's 87. And so, you see, you don't understand how God's going to use pain. Was I drugged? Did I know what I was doing? I don't really know if I knew what I was doing, but I was definitely able to hear from God in the midst of the pain. And I was able to obey in the midst of the pain and praise Him in the midst of the pain for a sister who had harmed or hurt me in some fashion. I can't tell you if it's physical. I don't know if she slapped me in the mouth to shut me up or slapped me on the rump. I don't know. But I know one thing. Something happened. And the fruit was, by freeing her, she chose to give me love for the first time in 50-something years. What am I telling you? Close your eyes. I'm telling you right now that God's Holy Spirit is on the job, releasing you to places that you may not understand in the midst of your pain. Because all of you have different levels of it. But choose to forgive those who have harmed you by choice. Set them free by choice. And I'm asking my Heavenly Father for grace for each of you to be able to carry out the commission He gives you so that the family members and those that have been involved with you from the time you were little to this day, that you would be set free to obey and receive God's grace. Do I get another amen?
Amen.
That's it.
I'm going to share a quick thing. Yesterday I had a tough day of intercession. I was just like feeling depressed, and just weeping, and it wasn't my emotions because there were faces that were coming, so I was interceding for these people, and I'm like, oh my Lord, I can't take anymore. I'm just like, and all of a sudden my daughter calls me, and she, I'm like, yeah, you want to go for a walk? And I'm like so happy because that joy, the Lord just knew what I needed,
yep.
Just to kind of, you know. It was like a little, you know, anyway, her and I always struggled in our relationship, and now the Lord is just working her heart, and we're becoming like really close friends, and she brings me lunches, sweetest things, you know, and I'm just so thankful, and I'm thankful that the Lord is doing it, He's working in her heart, and it's beautiful, so. That was my little thank you for doing all that hard labor.
Cool. Yeah. Anyone else? Yes, Pete?
You just described a story back to me that I had heard. This young man, his first car was a Model T. And he loved that little car, drove it around. One day he was driving it, the thing broke down on the side of the road. Couldn't get it to start. So he gets out, opens the hood, he's looking underneath the hood, of course. By today's standards, there's not much really to do to the car.
Yeah.
But as he's sitting there playing around, trying to get this thing to restart, this limo pulls up. This old man gets out and walks over and looks under the hood. The kid looked over at the old man, just shook his head. Guy has clean hands, no calluses. He says, the kid was just waiting for some sort of remark. And the man just said, this, and this, and he'd be all set. And the kid goes, sure. He continues on his way. The old man never moved. He just waited. And finally, after another 5 minutes of frustration, the kid just threw his hands up and did what the old man said, and the car just fired and started. And the kid just shook his head. He said, sir, you know, I looked at your hands. They're not dirty, not calloused. Doesn't look like you turned a wrench a day in your life. How did you know what to do with this car? The guy put his hand out and said, my name's Henry Ford. I designed this machine. I know every aspect of it. So you said, in the pain, God knows what to do and where to set you.
Yeah.
He designed you.
Yes. And see, the coordinates that had to be there in order for me to carry out what I needed to do, they were there. Okay? Now, Father, we just trust that by the Holy Spirit, every individual that we carry in our hearts will be set free in the real timing that you have discerned. We want to lift up those that are circumcised right now because they're being cut open and the flesh is dropping away And Lord, let your Holy Spirit bring them to fullness of life in Christ Jesus. Let it happen quickly, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you have something to share?
Yes.
During the feast, I brought in the information about what the state of Massachusetts was voting for a pandemic.
Yes.
I get my information from the legal arm of homeschooling.
Yes.
They're very faithful and they're very thorough. Anyway, today I received one. Apparently, the response was great. And that what I had talked about last week was the Senate version. The amended House version is improved when compared to the Senate version. It reduces the authority given to local public health officials and eliminates the authorization of unwarranted searches of a home and mandatory vaccination. So as of today, the bill is in conference committee with the two versions. Praise the Lord.
God's in the control room.
Amen.
And it's people who are diligent.
Yeah.
As they humble themselves and ask God to release grace, He will do it. Share some love with each other.